Do you know another parent or expecting parent? Are you wondering, what can I give them as a gift? Don't give them another onesie. Don't give them a plastic toy or, God forbid, a toy gun that's just going to end up in the garage. Give them something that matters. And what matters the most is protecting their child. What do you love most in the world? Your children. What will you do to protect them? Anything. I sat down with the smartest people I know in the world on matters of child safety, finding missing children, fighting back against predators. And what I learned is so important, powerful, and information so critical. I want you to have it. I want them to have it. Go to crimestopshere.com for a 5-part series with action information that you can use to change your life and protect your child. Payment starting $6.99. Give that as a gift, not another onesie. Find out how to protect your child when you're out at the mall or the store, or the grocery, in the parking lot, at home. Find out about protection regarding babysitters and daycare, even online. I'd rather have that any day of the week than a plastic toy, or God forbid, a toy gun. Join Justice Nation. Go to crimestopshere.com. Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
September 7, 2012.
Dara 911, where is your emergency?
I just walked into the apartment and my friend just like she's unconscious.
Okay, what's your address, ma'am?
I live at Hawthorne at the View.
Give me the address.
I just moved here. I'm about to get it. Oh my God.
A chill goes down your spine when you hear those words. You are hearing the 911 call placed by Faith Hedgepath's roommate, Karina Rosario. Faith Hedgepath, a beautiful young girl, found dead and still no answers. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Thank you for being with us. What can we learn from that 911 call as we try to solve the mystery and get a killer behind bars? Listen.
I just moved here. I'm about to get it. Oh my God. It's 5639 Old Capitol Hill Road in Durham.
Okay, you say your friend is unconscious?
He's unconscious. I just walked in the apartment and there looks like there's blood
okay,
everywhere.
Listen to me. Somebody's already sending me ambulance. Okay, I need to get some information from you, and I'm gonna tell you how to help her. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. How old is she?
She's 19.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't want to touch her, but
listen to me. Is she breathing?
I don't know.
You need to check and see. Is she breathing?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Okay, listen to me.
There's blood everywhere.
There's what?
There's blood everywhere.
Again, I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Thank you for being with us. What happened to Faith Hedgepath, a beautiful young girl found dead? I just can't believe that this time has passed and this little girl's killer has still not been brought to justice. Joining me, Joseph Scott Morgan, death scene investigator, professor of forensics at Jacksonville State University and author of Blood Beneath My Feet, Dr. Michelle Dupree, South Carolina medical examiner and author of Homicide Investigation Field Guide, renowned North Carolina family lawyer Kathleen Murphy, also with me, renowned New York psychiatrist Dr. Judith Fiona Joseph, straight out to syndicated talk show host David Mack. David, let's start at the beginning. What happened?
Faith and her roommate went out to a nightclub earlier in the evening. They had already been studying. They'd gone out, and they got home about 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. Now, there were a number of people involved in this scenario with Faith and her roommate, men in particular, and a number of text messages and calls were placed to several different young men. But all we know is that Corinne, her roommate, left at about 3:30 or about 4:30 in the morning. And when she returned at 11 o'clock, she found her roommate, Faith, in bed, bludgeoned to death in a very, very bloody crime scene.
You know, it's actually a death investigator's field day to find a crime scene with that much forensic evidence. I'm going to go to Dr. Michelle Dupree on cause of death, but to Joe Scott Morgan, death scene investigator. Joe, question to you. What do you do? Can there be a scene where there is so much blood that it actually obscures evidence?
Yeah, it can. That is evidence as it is viewed through the unaided eye. There are things that we can do back at the lab. But yeah, just initially upon your initial observation, when you walk into a scene like this, Nancy, many times the area is just completely bathed in blood, and so it obscures a lot of other evidence that otherwise might appear just plain, you know, plain in plain sight without the blood.
To Dr. Michelle Dupree, South Carolina Medical Examiner. Dr. Dupree, another issue when a scene is literally drenched with blood, stabbing or cutting or piercing the skin may not be the cause of death. How can that be?
That's absolutely right, Nancy. That's why we do an autopsy, because we examine the entire physical, outside and inside of the body. A lot of blood just simply means that you hit a vessel that bleeds a lot. Head injuries are a very good example.
You know, to Dr. Judith Fiona Joseph, New York psychiatrist, I'm about to play the rest of that 911 call for you. But Dr. Joseph, again, thank you for being with us. The previous night, Faith Hedgepath and roommate Rosario had gone out to a Chapel Hill nightclub. Now, there was a pocket dial voicemail that revealed Hedgepath, another woman, and two men were at the club a few hours before she was killed. Dr. Joseph, how can a night out having fun with your friends go so wrong?
Well, you know, this is a horrific case, and the 911 call is terrifying. I mean, imagine the scene that she walked upon, if she in fact walked upon the scene. So, you know, when you mix drugs and alcohol, it's a deadly combination. And what we find is that most cases of violence, especially in the mental health field, occur when there's a mix of drugs and alcohol. And unfortunately, at night, during nightlife scenes in college, there's a lot of drugs and alcohol. So sometimes a night out of fun can end up in a night out, can end up being a night out of in terror.
What we know that they were was that they were at a bar. There was some drinking, but I don't believe that Faith Hedgepath was even over the legal limit. Let's see what we can determine from the 911 call.
Okay, is she on her back or is she on her, laying on her stomach?
She's on her back, but, like, I think she fell off the bed because she's, like, off the bed. There's blood all over the pillows, like, in the comforter. I just don't know what happened.
Okay. All right, listen to me, all right?
Is someone coming?
Please. Yes, I've got somebody coming. I've got somebody coming. I need for you to help her. I need for you to go up to her. We need to see if she's breathing or not. Okay?
I don't think so.
Okay. Listen to me. Go up. The paramedics are on their way. I want you to stay on the line. I'm going to tell you what to do next, all right? Are you right by her now?
Yes.
Okay. Listen carefully.
Listen.
She's not moving. Okay.
No.
And will you touch her arm? Tell me, how does she feel?
She's not moving.
Okay, ma'am. We need to find out if we can help her or not. You've got to, you know, do as I'm asking so we can help her. All right?
Okay.
Okay. If you can, lay her flat on her back. Remove any pillow.
Lay her flat on her back?
Flat on her back. Remove any pillow.
Okay.
Okay. Kneel next to her. Look in her mouth for food or vomit. Okay. Kneel next to her. Look in her mouth for food or vomit. Tell me something. Listen to me. Listen to me. What is your name?
Karina. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry.
It's okay, honey. It's okay, honey. Listen to me.
I don't know.
Okay. All right. All right. All right. Listen to me. When you touched her, how did she feel? Does she feel warm?
No, she feels cold.
She feels cold? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Don't touch anything else, okay? Don't touch anything else. Okay, they're on their way. I've got police on the way to you, and I've got medics on the way. Okay?
I can't believe this.
Okay. What room is she in?
She's in my bedroom.
Okay, I want you to go back into the living room, okay?
You need to go in. What's going on. Like,
okay, listen. Listen to me.
In my room that, like, was not here before.
Okay, listen to me.
Someone had came in here.
Okay, okay.
It really does.
All right, what did you say your name was again?
Okay, I don't.
Okay, listen to me. Don't touch anything else in the room. I want you to leave that room. Go into the living room. You need to make sure the door is unlocked so somebody can get in, so that the medics and the police can get in when they get there. Okay?
Yes, it's unlocked.
Okay. Now tell me again.
Get here though.
Okay, they're on their way, honey. They're coming as fast as they can. You just stay on the phone with me, all right?
Yeah.
Okay. Tell me again what your name is.
It looks like someone had been in there because she's not like the cell. I don't know what.
Okay. Okay. I've let them know. We've got everybody on the way to help you. Now, tell me again what your name is.
What
is your name?
Karina Rosario.
Karina?
Yes.
Okay, Karina. You sit down on the couch. And don't touch anything, okay? You just sit down.
I'm not touching anything.
Okay.
What happened to Faith Hedgepath? She's absolutely stunning. I'm looking at her right now, and this is what you don't want to see. A picture of your beautiful girl smiling, her hair is all in curls around her face. She looks a lot to me like Julia Louise Dreyfus. She's just stunning. And then below that is a picture of her gravestone, Faith Danielle Hedgepath. I always try to start a murder case, a homicide case, with a 911 call when presenting to a jury. Why? Because it takes you, Kathleen Murphy, North Carolina family lawyer, back to the moment of the crime. The moment as close as we can get to the crime. And everything you hear at that moment in that 911 call factors into what happened. For instance, we find out she is lying there in her bedroom naked, and the bed covers are covered in blood. That tells me this was a sex attack or sex attempt. That's what happened, and that she was cut with a sharp object, which turns out to be, by the way, a rum bottle. I mean, Kathleen Murphy, if you listen very carefully to the 911 calls in so many cases, you learn the elements of the crime.
You absolutely do. And in this neighborhood that she was, it's about 30 minutes from where I live. It's a safe neighborhood. It's a safe campus. It's a difficult school to get into. These are not individuals that are troubled individuals. And when she's out at a bar with her friends, the investigation that has come about is looking into the relationships she had with the people that she surrounded herself with. They did a DNA phenotype model of what they suspect the killer could look like. He's a male. Some individuals want to allege that her roommate is responsible for this crime, but the photograph from the DNA phenotyping shows a male, and they use that photograph to narrow the list of suspects in this case.
Well, I can tell you right now that this is not the work of a female killer. Joseph Scott Morgan joining me, author of Blood Beneath My Feet. This is a male murder. The roommate left, and that has been established early that morning. She came back and found Faith Hedgepath dead. This was a sex assault or an attempted sex assault.
Yeah, it was, Nancy, and they did find semen at the scene as well. And the curious thing about this is that the semen that they found within the rape kit that they collected at autopsy, it also matched DNA sample that was taken from around the surrounding area within the apartment. So that's kind of compelling as well. That gives me an indication that either the subject cut themselves with this rum bottle that they used, which I like to refer to as a weapon of convenience, and we can go into that, or they did touch DNA sampling where they collected partial DNA from slough skin cells.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Very difficult to do. To Dr. Michelle Dupree, joining us out of South Carolina, renowned medical examiner, the autopsy determined she was not stabbed to death. She was beaten to death, and she died of blunt force trauma to the head. Why is that typically not a female crime?
Nancy, it's typically not a female crime because it takes some strength to do that. Most women are not going to pick up a blunt object and strike someone else. They just don't have the physical strength to do that.
Question about this to Dr. Judith Fiona Joseph, New York psychiatrist joining us from Manhattan. Dr. Joseph, what does that say to you about the mind of the killer that not only would he, and it is a he, beat her dead? The cause of death were blows to the head, doctor.
Yeah, it sounds like a very rageful murder and very personal. And so, you know, most of these crimes where women are attacked involve someone that they know. And like I said earlier, when you mix drugs and alcohol into any situation, you just heighten the level of intensity, of violence. So this is probably someone that she knew who was intoxicated and full of rage. And then we know what happened in the end.
You know, the Chapel Hill Police Chief Chris Blue has been making public appeals for help in the case to solve the murder of Faith Hedgepath. What do we know about Faith, David Mack? What do we know about her?
We know that she was a great student, that she was a Native American tribe in Western North Carolina. But we also know that she took a semester off of school because she needed to raise some money. She was working two jobs as a full-time student. I do want to go back to something you guys have talked about with the potential crime, the weapon that was used, that Bacardi rum bottle. That bottle was tested, and they determined that 60 miles per hour of force would have caused the blunt force trauma, two major hits to her head. But the bottle wasn't broken, and a similar bottle did not break in testing. It's got blood all over it. They have identified that as the murder weapon. And that's why I've actually seen a picture of this bloody Bacardi bottle. The thing is, Nancy, is that you mentioned the butt dial phone call. Well, you know, that night, the cell phone provider involved in that actually had a major glitch, and it caused a time shift of over 2 hours of timestamps during a 12-hour window at the time this took place. So where they're trying to place that butt dial at the club at about 1:30, it actually could have been placed at 3:30 in the morning. And on top of that, at the time, if that happened at 3:30 in the morning, a neighbor downstairs heard what she believed to be some very loud thuds going on upstairs in the apartment.
Take a listen to the Chapel Hill Police Chief, Chris Blue.
If anyone was in the area and saw something that they thought, no matter how insignificant, might have a connection, we would hope that they would come forward. If they heard something, overheard someone mention something that seems related to this case, we would hope they would come forward. They heard something that struck them as strange, we would hope they would come forward. If the killer is out there hearing this message, know this, we will catch you.
another parent or expecting parent, are you wondering what can I give them as a gift? Don't give them another onesie. Don't give them a plastic toy or, God forbid, a toy gun that's just going to end up in the garage. Give them something that matters. And what matters the most is protecting their child. What do you love most in the world? Your children. What will you do to protect them? Anything. I sat down with the smartest people I know in the world on matters of child safety, finding missing children, fighting back against predators. And what I learned is so important, powerful, and information so critical. I want you to have it. I want them to have it. Go to crimestopshere.com for a 5-part series with action information that you can use to change your life and protect your child. Payment starting $6.99. Give that as a gift, not another onesie. Find out how to protect your child when you're out at the mall or the store, or the grocery, in the parking lot, at home. Find out about protection regarding babysitters and daycare, even online. I'd rather have that any day of the week than a plastic toy, or God forbid, a toy gun. Join Justice Nation. Go to crimestopshere.com. Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
But I believe there's somebody out there that knows something. And I believe maybe it doesn't matter. I want to plead to the public. I want to beg you that if you think you know anything at all, perhaps you think that what you know is very insignificant because you probably think it is already reported, but you don't know that, okay? That anything at all, anything that anybody saw, whether they think it was out of character or not, if they saw anything, just please report, call Chapel Hill Police Department or the FBI and report it. I am so convinced that it's just the difference in solving this case and it going cold is just one fact.
You are hearing the father of Faith Hedgepath begging for help in the murder of his gorgeous young daughter, 19-year-old Faith Hedgepath. FBI analysts have now issued a profile of the man they believe that murdered the 19-year-old University of North Carolina Chapel Hill student, Faith Danielle Hedgepath. It was a quiet neighborhood where she lived off campus with another young girl and a very difficult school to get into, very exclusive to get into Chapel Hill. DNA evidence found in Faith's apartment, according to reports, Hedgepath found dead in her bedroom at her apartment there at Chapel Hill just a few hours after she was last seen alive. She had gone out with girlfriends to a local nightclub called The Thrill the night before. The FBI Behavioral Analysis Unit insists the killer knew Hedgepath, maybe lived near her now or in the past, may have made comments about her to friends or coworkers. Did the killer's behavior change after her death? Maybe an odd interest in her case or a change at work or at school. Investigators say the crime lab definitely found DNA in the apartment by a man. Now, they have not disclosed where the DNA was found. As you heard Joe Scott Morgan say, it was around the apartment. But they were convinced it would lead them to Faith's killer. If you have information, please call 919-614-6363. Repeat, 914-614-6363 or Crime Stoppers, 919-642-7515, 919-942-7515. It hurts me to hear her father begging for that one tip that will crack the case. Is that tip a note left at the scene that has just been revealed by police? And as it relates to that DNA, to Joseph Scott Morgan, death scene investigator and author, we may have all the DNA in the world, but you've got to have something to match it to, Joe Scott.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Nancy. And unfortunately, there is not a tremendous DNA database like fingerprints, say, for instance. We've got some databases that are out there, so it's kind of limiting. But Nancy, they took samples reportedly took samples of 100 people that were at least associated with her in some way, and none of them have come back as a match. There's been between 1,000 and 2,000 people interviewed in this particular case. So the case has been very wide ranging. I agree with the Behavioral Sciences Unit. This crime is so passionate. It's so brutal. I think that someone was very, very angry, and they were within her circle. They knew her. They'd been watching her probably, and they assaulted her. Lord only knows how and for how long.
Take a listen to what we can learn from the 911 call.
I just want you to sit down because the police and the medics are going to be there. Just they're coming just okay. As fast as they can, all right?
Okay.
You just stay on the phone with me.
Okay.
You just stay on the phone with me.
Are you sure they're coming?
Yes, ma'am. They are on their way.
I just can't believe this. No, someone has to have been in there.
Okay. We've got first responders on the way. There's a fire truck coming. There's a medic coming, and the sheriff's department's on the way to you.
Okay.
You just stay on the phone with me until somebody gets there with you. All right?
Okay.
Okay, Karina. How old are you, Karina?
I'm 20.
You're 20? Okay, hon. You're doing all right. You're doing all right. You just stay on the phone with me.
I see the police.
You see the police?
Yes.
Okay. You let me know when they get in there with you, and then you can talk to them, all right?
Okay.
I just don't want you to be alone right now.
Okay.
Okay. You just stay on the phone with me.
Okay.
To David Mack, syndicated talk show host David, tell me about a recently revealed note found at the scene.
There was, apparently, they had gone to a fast food restaurant on their way home from the club. And in the midst of this horribly bloody crime scene, there was a note written on the back of this fast food bag. Do you want me to give you the actual text of it?
Yeah.
Because, it says, "I'm not stupid, bitch. Jealous." And the part about this that bothers the investigators is that this was written with, there's no blood on the bag. The DNA on the pen matches up with the sperm they found near the body. And yet there's no blood on that bag, meaning that the perpetrator actually felt comfortable enough in this apartment, knowing nobody was coming home, and cleaned himself up before writing that note. And one of the experts I heard talking about that specific note said that it seemed like there was a deliberate deception, like maybe somebody used their non-writing hand to write that note. And it really blows the case wide open because of the anger in the context.
Let's go to New York psychiatrist joining us from Manhattan, Dr. Judith Fiona Joseph. Dr. Joseph, what does it say to you that the killer actually left a note and also that there was no blood on the note? What does the note reveal in your mind? We got to get inside the mind of this killer.
That tells me that this person, again, was full of rage and had no remorse, because after a killing, you know, sometimes in the heat of passion, a crime of passion, there's remorse, you know, because it's kind of, it is heat of the moment. You had this grudge, you did something, and then immediately after, you probably feel remorse or regret. This person had no regrets. In fact, this person wanted to leave a statement, and that is horrific.
So to you, Kathleen Murphy, this is in your backyard. Kathleen Murphy, North Carolina family lawyer, joining us. You know, Chapel Hill is very, very prestigious. It's very hard to get into. What do all these factors tell you, Kathleen? What do you know about the community?
It is a beautiful campus. The students there are above par. It is very difficult to get into the school. It is a beautiful campus, and it just convinces me that this is somebody that she knew. And I cannot believe, with all the DNA samples that they took from her circle of friends, that they haven't had a match yet. And that is concerning to me.
Well, what it says to me is the perp is not in the DNA databank. or the fingerprints are not in the data bank because you've got CODIS and you've got APHIS. One is about DNA, one is about fingerprints. Unless you are a civil servant or a cop or in the military or you have a criminal record. I mean, my fingerprints are on file from being a prosecutor. That's the first thing I had to do before I got my job. I had to give my fingerprints. So people are in the system, but if you're not in the system, there's nothing to compare those prints or that DNA to. So you may have a wealth of DNA, but you can't get a match. I want you to listen to something that literally haunts me. This is Faith's father, Roland Hedgepath.
Faith was my youngest daughter, my baby girl. She was born at a real bad time in my life. A good time for her to be born, but one of the lowest points of my life. And she was a godsend to give me a reason to live. Faith was a pretty baby, okay? From the moment they brought her out of the delivery room, first time I saw her, she was just a beautiful little girl. And, you know, everybody thinks their child's pretty, but sometimes newborns are not so pretty to other people, but Faith was just pretty, and she never really changed a whole lot from that aspect, but her beauty didn't lie on her exterior. You know, her beauty was from within. That's the beauty that I saw. I've always heard that you know, a parent should never have to bury their children or their child, and I guess in a perfect world that's true, but it certainly wasn't the case here. We buried Faith on September 12, 2012. And her leaving us has just left such a void. I don't really know how to describe it, okay? It's, you know, the worst thing I ever heard in my whole life was that she had died. And, you know, and the hardest thing I've done since then, hardest thing I've ever done is just live every day since then.
You are hearing Faith Hedgepath's father, Roland, talking about the loss of his, as he says, baby girl. And what he is going through is pure hell. Hell. And it's only compounded by the fact that her case has not been solved. Among brand new details made available to us is a note scribbled on a fast food bag left next to her naked body. That reads, according to Dave Mack, "I'm not stupid, bitch, jealous." That's what the note said. As compared to everything else in the bedroom where she was found naked and dead, it doesn't have a drop of blood on it. I'm looking at it right now, and you can see it on crimeonline.com and hear the very latest, see the very latest about Faith Hedgepath's death. What does it tell us? "I'm not stupid, bitch, jealous." To Dr. Michelle Dupree, renowned medical examiner and author of Homicide Investigation Field Guide, Dr. Dupree is bringing back memories of the JonBenet Ramsey murder, and I'll tell you why. Because that perp was not afraid somebody was going to walk in the front door and see them sitting there writing a ransom note on Patsy Ramsey's notepad with Patsy Ramsey's writing pen or Sharpie. No, they were relaxed in the home. They wrote a draft and a full-on, I think it was a two-page letter. They were not worried of detection at all. And this person, a parallel, this person is not worried. What does that mean to you, Dr. Michelle Dupree, about this murder?
Nancy, that tells me that this person was well-organized. This is well thought out. There's probably going to be not that much forensic evidence except for the DNA. It also tells me that this person was very, very comfortable in this location and probably knew her. And as was said before, knew that they would have time to do this horrific crime.
What else do we know? Faith's body was found in a pool of blood. There was blood spatter on the wall and the bedroom closet door of the apartment. To Joseph Scott Morgan, death investigator and author of Blood Beneath My Feet. Joseph Scott, what does that mean to you? Blood found on the wall and also on the closet door of her apartment.
Well, not knowing what the nature of this blood is, I can only assume that it's probably cast off. And what that means is as she's being struck with this heavy rum bottle, which has already been stated was not broken, This blood is, if people at home will just think about taking a paintbrush and dipping it into a can of paint and slinging it over their shoulder, this creates cast off. And so those are the little particulate. And what this can tell us is actually the position of the perpetrator relative to the victim. My suspicion is that they were obviously in a dominant position. They were on top of her, beating her with this. Now, if I could just address one thing about this note, because I think it's quite telling, Nancy. First off, as you note, as was stated earlier, there was no blood on the note. That means that, in my estimation at least, either the note was written beforehand or after this event took place, someone cleaned their hands prior to writing this thing. One more thing, and I'll be quiet. The note itself is written in a very particular fashion. If you read the text of the note, it's in three distinct lines that are stacked on top of one another. The top statement says, "I am not stupid," and then the word "bitch" appears in the second line, and it's bold. It's bolder than anything else. And then below it, it says "jealous." This looks like it was written in a fevered manner. It's kind of disorganized and overlapping, the letters are. And they've already had a question document examiner look at this thing. I'm sure several have at this point in time. And they will be able, I think, to match this handwriting with someone.
We know that Hedgepath and roommate Rosario left the bar together and drove back to their old Durham Road apartment in Hedgepath's white Nissan Altima. Rosario left soon thereafter, but when she came back that morning around 11 a.m. with a friend, the two of them find Faith's body. We know that investigators have collected hundreds of items of evidence. They've interviewed friends, family, coworkers, neighbors. They've consulted with scientific experts. They've circled back to classmates of hers. They've asked persons of interest to give DNA swabs to compare. They collected hundreds of samples. So far, none have been a match. Chief Blue says that key piece of information is still out there. What happened? Who killed Faith Hedgepath? Take a listen to Faith's father.
My last living memory of her is here at this home. She came to visit me on Father's Day in June of 2012. I had just undergone a total hip transplant and about a week, a little more than a week before, and I was very weak. And but she came to see me for Father's Day, and I had no idea it was the last time I was going to see her. We talked every week, several times a week normally, if I could get up with her. Either we texted or talked. And she was a highlight of my day normally, you know, our conversations when we, I always would close our conversations with, you know, I'd always tell her to read her Bible and pray, and I'd always tell her to be careful of the company she kept, you know. Always watch her surroundings, and I look back at even some of the letters that I wrote her that her mother gave back to me, and I put the same things in her letters, you know. But in the end, it didn't seem to make any difference.
If that does not make you want to run to your children's school and make sure they're okay, or check on them or call them, it's just overwhelming to me to hear Faith's father in such deep despair. Let me remind you, there is a $40,000 reward to help solve the murder of Faith Hedgepath there in North Carolina. $40,000. If you have information, please dial 919-614-6363. Repeat, 919-614-6363 or 919-942-7515. 919-942-7515. Nancy Grace, Crime Story, signing off. Goodbye, friend.